What's up, everyone? That's right, we're back. It's the Brutal is Beautiful radio show, episode 20. I know it's been 4.5 months since the last time I did an episode, but I've been really busy with my own musical endeavors and stuff, and it takes a long time to, you know, go around and find the bands that I play on the show. And even though I know there's tons of bands out there listening, I don't know why nobody submits any material to me, so I have to go out and find all the material on my own. And all you bands out there, send me your stuff. I will play it. It'll be easy. I don't make you jump through any hoops or anything. Just send me the stuff. Tell me where you're from. Anything else you want me to say, and I'll play it. Simple as that. The email address is brutalisbeautiful@gmail.com. Anyways, we're coming back at you with a special edition of Brutal is Beautiful. I did an interview with the band Lasting Vengeance, and we showcased their EP, Inhuman Condition. These are awesome dudes, they were great to hang out with, and they're definitely a kick-ass band, so you gotta check them out. You can find them online at myspace.com/lastingvengeance. And if you're on MySpace, apply to be their friend and tell them that you heard of them on Brutal's Beautiful Radio Show. Alright, what do you say we get to it? What's up, everyone? I'm sitting here with Jeff, Brian, and Marty from Lasting Vengeance, and we're going to bullshit with them a little bit, talk about their demo that we're going to play, and who knows what the fuck else. So, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
How you doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Okay, first question I got is your new recording that you got here. Well, it's not so new, but is it your newest recording?
It's the latest one.
It's the latest recording. Okay. The latest recording, where was it recorded at?
It was recorded over at Farview Recording Studios over in St. Charles, a little bit out in the sticks in St. Charles. Actually, we had a really good time doing it. Jason Walsh is the guy who runs the studio. Marty, I know, knows him from and remembers
Stonehenge.
Him. Yeah, Stonehenge. But
that name sounds familiar to me as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's
something to do with Rebel Radio, right?
Yep,
isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Scott Davidson.
Exactly.
Drummer, Scott Davidson.
Yeah. But at any rate, we went and we did it over 2 weekends. Just laid down about 6-7 tracks, and it's certainly kind of a refreshing break for us from playing shows. And it was cool, too, just because Jason's the kind of guy, he understands metal, and we didn't have to explain our sound, whereas most places, if you go to record, you kind of have to justify everything you do, starting with the vocals, like what kind of vocals are those. And we didn't run into any of that there.
Yeah, Farview Recording, man. Highly recommended.
No, he did some other bands that have some notoriety, right?
Mm-hmm. I know he was working on the new Dave Schenkel Group album. It was new at the time when we recorded. He was doing the mixing for that, and believe... Yeah, I think he also did Rebels Without Applause.
Werewolf.
Yeah, they're an excellent band. I don't know if you ever heard them, but they're
not to be confused with Wolf, that new Swedish band that kind
of. No, not to be confused with Wolf. No, but yeah, it seems like he's just got like a real Jason Walsh, the guy who runs the place, just has a real ear for metal. And you know, like I said, when we had to go in and you know, we went in and talked to him before we started recording, and you know, like the last place we went to was also with a guy who's, you know, has some experience with metal, but we had to, you know, at that place really explain ourselves and be like, well, no, you know, the drums should sound like this. You know, we want to just kind of capture what we are, and we didn't have to do any of that. Yeah, it was like we walked in and kind of told him what we were about and played him some of our older stuff. He's like, oh yeah, that's cool.
Excellent. That probably made it a lot easier.
Way easier.
All right, well, let's get to the first track off that. It's called Stop the Killing.
It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder.
Death, stop, get out!
Okay, so for the cover art for this EP, what's the deal behind that?
It's actually it's an old, not comic book, but old kind of comic illustration from an old sci-fi comic, and basically it's for anyone who's seen it, it's a guy with a gas mask walking into a room of people laying on the floor with a machine gun. We just thought it was kind of cool and blended with some of the themes that we had going on with the songs that ended up on the demo, which, by the way, is entitled Inhuman Condition. I'm a big fan of, like, the old retro, you know, 50s kind of and 40s artwork, you know, the old post-World War II era stuff. So we kind of looked at it and thought it would just be kind of some cool background imagery for the tunes we were writing.
Okay, excellent. I thought it looked pretty badass myself, that's why I figured I'd ask. Okay, let's get to the next track. It's called Beneath the Screams. So what inspired the song Beneath the Screams?
Hypocrisy, because...
I fucking love Hypocrisy.
No, not the band Hypocrisy. Love them too. Yeah, but actually Hypocrisy in that, you know, like pretty much most of the songs we write are just about disgusting, revolting things in horror movies. Because I'm a huge horror fan and I write pretty much most of the lyrics, This one was kind of about horrors of a different kind, the horrors of war. And I hate writing about topics, like real-world topics of any kind, but it was, and it's not like some REM bullshit about, like, you know, like how sad the Iraq war is or any particular war. It's just about the futility of it and, you know, just people fighting each other to the death and, you know, that basically it just leads to darkness and despair. And, you know, it's one of the few tracks we have where we actually, again, it's actually kind of a serious subject matter, although we kind of approach it abstractly. But, you know, it's it just seemed to fit. You know, it's kind of a, if you listen to the track, it's very much kind of got a grindcore feel to it, and it just felt right to, you know, expound upon that a little bit and write something that kind of had some relevance to you know, what's really going on in the world. You know, I guess fortunately or unfortunately, that's one of the few. Pretty much most of the other songs are about zombies eating people's brains out. And,
yeah,
that's what I like to stick to personally. I mean, you know, zombies eating people's brains out.
I got something to say, man.
Yeah, I got something to say, man. I want to talk about, you know, Dawn of the Dead.
Hell yeah.
You know, but, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, because to me it's like, you know, I actually kind of get frustrated with bands that just get on a soapbox and harp about stuff. It's like, you know, music.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
Yeah,
it has its place.
It has its place. Though, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? I never want to be in a band like Rage Against the Machine where we're having a freaking protest. You know, it's like people come to listen to you because they want to escape the bullshit of what they deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Get out there and jam.
Yeah, not because they want to have a rebroadcast of frickin' CNN or Fox News or something, you know? It's like, so, you know what, it's like, there's certain things that are just cool, at least in my eyes. It's like, you know, hey, somebody's talking about zombies eating people, that's cool. Somebody's talking about a werewolf tearing into somebody's neck. Right. That's excellent, you know. What's wrong with that? Yeah, that's entertainment,
stuff,
you know. It's like, so,
and it's not really happening, which is makes it, you know, less scary, you know,
really
considering
though, you know?
Some of these bands are writing about shit that's happening for real, and it's like, you know what? I hear enough about that, you know.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, your music's an outlet, man. It's not supposed to be like watching the news.
Totally.
Yeah, if you got something to say, that's cool, but if, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? There's enough bands that have something to say on that front. I'll let them do it. You know, it's like if I'm writing lyrics, it's like I'd rather write something that entertains me. And it's like, you know, it's almost a downer when you listen to some of these bands that are just like they're so pissed off about this and that. And it's like, well, what do
it's
you really think? Yeah, it's an outlet, but you think like
I don't pay attention. To
you
lyrics,
really
man,
think?
But it sounds good what you're doing.
Yeah, but, you know, like, bands like Rage Against the Machine kind of piss me off, because it's like, do they really think, like, the people in Washington, D.C. are listening to what the hell they're saying? They're like...
Absolutely not.
Yeah, they couldn't give a shit. They couldn't give half a shit about what those guys think. They're just like...
Or any of us, for
that matter. They're not even on their radar, so it's like...
Man,
it's like, what do they think they're changing? It's like, if you want to get out and change something, actually go out and do something, you know, like, go out and help somebody. You know, like, you writing a song about it and then, like, acting like you're, you know, the Nobel Prize winner of the year, you know. It's like, I mean, what did you really do? You wrote a song and, like, forced your opinion on everybody. It's like, well, whoop-de-doo, that really helped everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure
that's
like
all we need is more.
And it's like, I'm sure
the are like assholes, everyone has one.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure the president was listening and everything will be different tomorrow, you know. It's like, yeah, it's like, get real. It's like, to me, metal's the coolest metal to me was like, you know, like the thrash era shit where they're writing about like nuclear apocalypse and stuff, and all the old school death metal, you know, like obituaries writing about rotting corpses and stuff like that. It's like, that was a cool aesthetic to like have as a backdrop for the music. It fits the aggression of the music.
Right.
And like, I think most metal fans are horror fans by nature.
Oh,
you know?
Absolutely, I am.
Yeah, it's like, You know, so I'd rather write about, like, some Jason Voorhees character, like, hacking people to pieces. It doesn't make me a psycho. Just, it's entertaining, you know? It's, like, it's gruesome. The music's gruesome.
That's what it's about, man.
So it's about, yeah, letting out some aggression and having fun and just, yep. you know, partying ass and doing what you want to do. It's, yeah, it's, you know, there's enough serious time in life. It's, like, metal's about, like, just raging out and having a good time.
Totally. Well, let's get to some of that with the title track off of this album. It's called Inhuman Condition. What do you guys think about the current industry, the record industry, and like how it's affecting metal versus like the other genres of music out there and stuff like that? And do you think it's good for metal, or do you think it's bad for metal? Because really, who cares about the other kinds of music?
Right.
I don't know, man. It seems like metal's starting to come back a little bit, you know? It's like for a while everybody was all getting into the hair thing and shit like that, you know, and all, and obviously we're not too much into that.
Yeah, me either.
Right.
I was at one point, but you
so
know.
Now like metal's more accessible to people on one hand, you know, on the other hand, you know, you should go out and buy albums, you know, buy CDs. I like to, you know, I like to have the cover art and all that stuff. And,
yeah, absolutely,
know,
me too.
And that's people's jobs, you know, so you gotta support metal.
Totally, yeah, you know, it's cool to find them online, and it makes it, like, way easier to discover shitloads of bands, but if you're just going to listen to it online, you know, it's not the same kind of feeling as when you buy the CD and you're reading the lyrics and
exactly.
Following along, and you get to see who they thanked and, you know, what other kind of liner notes they have. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Right on.
And, you know... And now with, like, bands like Black Dahlia Murder and Amon Amarth ending up on, like, the Billboard 100, it's like, are we in the Twilight Zone, or is this Bizarro World? I think that's badass. I mean, you know, I don't know. I think it's a good thing, and,
yeah,
you know.
The metal scene is kind of, I don't know, man.
The record industry?
Yeah.
It sucks, man. It's all about selling records.
Yeah, and,
you know,
and
they
not,
got them.
Not fucking what, you know, is on the records, just how many they can print and
right, how
and
many
sell.
They sell.
So, it's, yeah, I
but,
agree with that.
Yeah,
right.
The hardcore fans, you know, live touring's where it's at, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
But you know what? The record industry's always been about that. I mean, you know, it's like in the 70s, it was the dorks from the Partridge Family and stuff, and now it's... You know, slutty Britney
music.
Spears and, you know, garbage like that.
Hey, I want to cover Daydream Believer, man.
Yeah. You're in the wrong band,
yeah.
Motherfucker.
As
come
far
on,
as
man.
Industry,
yeah.
though, man.
Nah,
it's all about selling, you know, how many copies the company can recoup on it, you know.
But that's what it's always been, man.
And that's,
it's,
yeah.
Well, and
it's,
well,
it's, you know, they give an advance to any joker, you know, who they can sucker into a,
right.
one of their swindling deals and... You know, the whole thing is, it's like, I think the record industry is good and bad at the same time for metal. It's like, you see, like you mentioned, bands like Amon Amarth and Black Dahlia Murder, like, getting the recognition of actually showing up on the Billboard charts, even though they're, like, buried on both sides by, like, garbage like Toby Keith and,
right,
you know,
right.
you know, Lindsay Lohan and
but
crap
been
like
at
that.
It for
but
a while, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see, like, bands that actually can play instruments get some recognition, but, you know, at the same time, I think metal's subject to the same prejudices it's always had in the record industry where, you know, people just, it's always misunderstood, and, you know, I think you look at even bands like Metallica, it's like their record label was most happy with them when they were making stuff like the Load album. You know, it's like, I mean,
yeah.
it, which is the antithesis of everything they did before and now, you know, on the new album. And it's like, yeah, it's just, it's misunderstood. And I think it's kind of an insult to the people who play it, but I mean... You want to have your music heard, and, you know, it's still, even though the web's made
Stay
everything...
Stay true, man. Stay
yeah.
true. What
yeah,
you're
even
playing.
Though the web's made everything more accessible to everyone,
oh, yeah. it
it's
helps
still...
Fans.
Yeah, but it's still the recognition of being on a label and having that avenue to distribute your stuff. I mean, it's still... It means a lot,
right.
you know?
It's like
well,
Black Dahlia Murder,
what?
Man, top 20 or...
Yeah.
you know, on the Billboard charts.
You know, it's funny you brought up Metallica. I know there's kids that I hang out with that say they listen to the new Metallica and it sounds too heavy to them. They like the other crap that they were putting out earlier. And I'm like, are you kidding me, man? They're finally getting back to playing like good, solid, heavy music. And I don't know, a lot of these kids are listening to...
Well, that's all they've ever known from Metallica. That's
exactly.
like, they weren't around when, you know, like, during
Come
the Bay
on.
Area.
When
Cliff,
Rome,
when Cliff
yeah,
was around.
And they,
yeah,
don't,
yep.
they don't remember the Bay Area thrash scene
right.
or any of those bands. They don't remember
right.
Violence or,
They prefer
you know,
the
Testament.
Later stuff than the earlier stuff.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, how many kids who listen to Machine Head have any idea that Rob Flynn was, like, the guitar player?
Oh, none, yeah.
Nobody.
Phil Demmel, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
No doubt.
Well, what do you think about like bands like Lamb of God, who are now under like super major labels, and they're being forced to, you know, you know their label is saying, oh, we want another this song, you know, we want four of these of that song on this record, so it sells. I mean, do you think that like bands like that are gonna buckle to the pressure and kind of give metal bad name that way, or
stick their foot up the producers' asses?
Yeah.
I don't know. True what they're in. You know, it's always hard to make that distinction because, like, you know, it's not fair to bands to say, like, oh, you can never change what you're doing, because as a band, you want to innovate and do different things. But I think there's a big distinction between, like, innovating and building on what you have and making it better versus changing your style to like please your label or to gain a fan base,
right.
And
or to just not progress.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, or to regress like Metallica did, where they went from, you know, playing scorching leads and like metal epics to playing crap that sounded like Korn. You know, it's like I mean, you know, it's
definitely identity crisis going on over in the Metallica camp.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's, you know, in the same vein, it's while it's unfair to like put that limitation on bands, it's kind of hard to get past it and think like it's not the record label putting pressure on them to do it, because, you know, obviously you see bands that like are on indie labels, record after record after record, they're making hardcore punishing shit, and then, you know, they get signed to a major label and suddenly like they've had an epiphany that they want to change their style. You know, it's kind of an odd coincidence.
Yeah, my ass.
Yeah. Exactly.
What's that? Epiphany?
Epiphany.
Yeah.
A bullshit-ny?
I know her. Yeah. Oh, bless you.
All right, let's get to the next song. It's called Blood on Your Hands.
Dark white lights,
Okay, so do you guys use like just regular tunings, or do you down tune, or is it different with every song, or what's your guys' protocol?
It's all
technically
drop C, man.
Drop C?
Yeah.
Okay.
All
excellent.
Drop C. Yep. It's I like to think of it as the devil's tuning.
Oh yeah.
It's it gives you a lot of options, and all of them evil.
Yep.
And I'm way too lazy to retune my guitars. I have two carbon copy Jacksons that I use, and both of them have Floyd Roses, and both of them never
get... Those are hard to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. You buy a different weight of strings, and the next thing you know, you're sitting there dicking with it, trying to get it to just hold any tune.
Yeah, play a bass and drop C. You gotta buy some meaty strings, man, because they tend to not vibrate.
Yeah, because you're tuned down. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And I learned my lesson, man. It's like, I don't want to be messing with that shit. It's like, I like how drop C sounds, and, you know, even the limited amount of cover songs we do, it seems to work well with it and give it a nice tone, and you're able to kind of move around the fretboard and drop C. You know, it's like, for me, it's like I pop on some 10-gauge strings, and like, that shit doesn't move. There's no whammy bar crap going on. There's no retuning. That's it. It's done. And, you know, except for when I break strings on a regular basis, and then I swear.
Well, rightfully so. Rightfully so.
Nice.
As far as the drum sound, I like to keep the toms loose and hit them really hard.
Like nice and detuned.
Yeah.
Kind of like in tune.
Keep them
style.
Low sounding, yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, let's get to the next tune and the last tune on the EP, which is called Your Fear Is Now.
Don't turn around. Let's go now.
I know you guys are probably working on some new material. Do you got anything that you could maybe jam out for us real quick, or any tracks that are, you know, maybe worthy of letting the listeners hear that, you know, aren't on the demo, some fresh stuff?
Yeah, for sure. We might play them kind of badly because it's been a lot of beer tonight, and I'm fighting a cold. But, yeah, we've actually been working on a new full-length demo, and it's... kind of like I mentioned earlier, it's got a recurring theme for us. It's about a guy who basically wakes up dead and walks into a hospital. They don't know what to do with him. They put him in the morgue, and all of a sudden he gets a version of kind of human rabies and goes on a rampage. starts eating people's brains out and causing general havoc around the neighborhood. And it has kind of a George Romero-esque side effect in that the people he bites return to life and start doing the same thing after about 24 hours to other people. So we have a couple tracks that are pieces of that story, and yeah, we can do those.
Excellent, excellent. What would they be called?
Well, the first one we're going to do is called Death From Below. It's basically about the guy busting out of the morgue. And going on a rampage in the hospital, grabbing nurses and biting their throats open and stuff like that.
I've done that.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of fun, yeah. You know? It's like, you know, they scream, and then it's like everybody has a good laugh, yeah, and, yeah. You know. The other one is, it's actually, even though we're going to play it second, it precedes Death From Below. It's called Clinging On To Life. It's basically... kind of when the guy is like in the hospital and they're working on him, and he's like kind of fighting the feelings that are coming on him, and he knows something's not right, but he's not kind of sure what it is yet. But those are the two.
All right, excellent. Well, I'll let you guys get set up, and I'll hit pause, and then when you guys are ready, I'll bust the record button, and we'll let it roll.
Right on.
Thank you. This is Marty.
And this is Jeff.
And this is the Brutal is Beautiful radio show.
Yes!
Hey, metalheads!
This is Dario Psycho.
And Snowy White.
Of Radioactive Metal with an offer you cannot refuse.
Do you like metal news?
Interviews?
Video picks?
Best indie metal world has to offer?
And best of all, heated discussions that will make your ears ring and your head spin.
Some side effects may include increased knowledge of metal, higher testosterone levels, and in some extreme cases, poser eradication.
What is all this going to cost you?
Well, for 3 easy payments of absolutely nothing, you will get over 70 hours of pure bone crashing,
pit stopping,
chick slamming,
metal! Discover why 78% of our podcast listeners have given Radioactive Metal double horns up,
while the other 38% can just your mother.
So act now, as supplies are infinite, and operators at RadioactiveMetal.net and your local iTunes stores are standing by.
Remember, there's only 2 types of metalheads:
those who listen to Radioactive Metal
and those who have yet to discover it.
Let RadioactiveMetal.net be your one-stop shop for all things metal.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Those sounded pretty badass, guys. So we're probably looking at a couple months maybe for the new demo?
Yeah, they should be done by then, man. I mean, those two are pretty much done. We got a few more in the works, so hopefully we'll have those done by, I don't know, man, end of June maybe?
Yeah.
Is there a title of the EP yet, or
not yet.
Not sure yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's we've been trying to think of something revolting enough to offend any females we know, and we haven't come up with anything yet. So
I'm confident you will.
Oh, I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will. But yeah, we're kind of taking a little hiatus from playing shows and doing some of the things we normally do. So yeah, we're just gonna write. We're kind of actually excited about some of the other we're excited about some of the new songs and new ideas that we're busting out. So yeah, we're hoping maybe hit the studio in June and hopefully have something by midsummer.
Excellent. All right, well, thanks for letting me come and invade your guys' space and talking with you, and it was really fucking awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man. See you next time, man.
Thank you!
All right. Thanks again, guys, for the great interview, and I hope that everybody listening liked this week's special edition of Brutal is Beautiful. If you like that band, don't forget to go to myspace.com/lastingvengeance and apply to be their friend. I'll be back next week with a little more of an explanation of where I've been for the last 4 months, but for now, I'm going to leave you with two more live tracks that Lasting Vengeance did. They were taken from a show they did at the Ye Old Town Inn in Mount Prospect, Illinois, on November 7th, 2008. First track's called Failsafe, and the second is called Silent Disintegration. Until next time, remember. We'll be right back.
say a couple things anyhow. We got demos for anybody who didn't get one. They're fucking free, so be sure to hit us up and take one home with you. Feel free to burn the fuck out of it and distribute it to all your friends. We don't care. We want people to hear it. The other thing we wanted to say, thank you very much to fucking Wookiee and Grim Jim. Fucking Yodi's a fucking killer place to play. Always has been, always will be. All right. This next song is called Silent Disintegration.
Your son, not your bottom.